All right, Kerry Crowley is on assignment today. He'll be back with us next week. And it's a pleasure to bring in Katie Wu of The Athletic, of ASU as well. And love talking ball with her. She covers the Cardinals, the beat writer for The Athletic. Katie, how are you?
Marty, so nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
No, we're doing fine. Look, the Giants are 9-5, off to a pretty good start. They've got a couple of injuries, but the story of baseball is unfolding every day, and in St. Louis, the story is always a good one. It's always a good one. What's the biggest story for you as we play 2 weeks of the season?
You know, I think for me and for Cardinals fans, I think it's just kind of accepting the reality that Albert Pujols is back in a Cardinals uniform. And not only that, Marty, but he is benefiting the team so well in that uniform. I mean, I think when the Cardinals entered spring training, they never really ruled out a reunion with Pujols, but it wasn't on their top list of priorities. But as the spring went on, their strategy changed and things began to align. So they brought Albert back, obviously a beloved franchise icon, a surefire Hall of Famer. And, you know, when talking to Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, and Cardinals new manager, Ollie Marmol, they both said, you know, it's a great story to have Albert back in St. Louis, but we brought him back because we think he can be impactful. And, look, I know this is a Giants station, a Giants radio, but I'm careful what I say next. But I thought the way the Dodgers used Albert Pujols last season was really beneficial, and you saw a lot of results, specifically against left-handed pitchers. And that's the same way the Cardinals are going to use him. And so far, the early returns have been really encouraging.
Well, don't worry about saying things on our station. We talk baseball.
And I love it. That's why I love the station.
Yeah, that's what we do. We talk baseball. So what's the biggest impact he's had? Has it been on the field or in the clubhouse? Has he done anything on the field of note?
You know, I think it's both. And honestly, it helps being on the road and being in the clubhouse to see these things firsthand. But, I mean, you see what Albert can do against left-handed pitchers and even the low-velocity right-handers. He still hits them very well. He's homered twice already. He even scored from home from first base. So, you know, that goes a plus one when you're 42 years old. I think that counts a little bit more. But the impact he has on the clubhouse has really, I think, been understated. I mean, you have leaders in, obviously, Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina who can't say enough nice things about Albert. But then you also have the up-and-coming guys, the up-and-coming leaders in Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado who say, you know, what Albert's been doing in the cage, the precedent that he sets for the young hitters and for them. You know, when I remember one player told me, you know, he thought he was done for the day in the cage and Albert got back for another round and he was just sitting around like, well, I guess I need to take another round too because Albert's over here outworking everyone. So I think he's been a really good compliment both on the field and behind the scenes for this team. And the early returns have been very promising.
All right. Katie Wu with us. She covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. One thing Pujols has done, along with Yadier Molina and Wainwright, the three of them have gotten a lot of attention. It's kind of taken the attention off Arenado and Goldschmidt, and Arenado is hitting .400 with 5 homers, 14 RBIs. Goldschmidt's a little slower start for me, but, you know, isn't there something like that, where they've kind of taken the spotlight and these guys are doing their job, but no one's talking about them?
Absolutely. You know, I think what Nolan Arenado has done, I mean, he came into spring so convicted that he did not do enough in the 2021 season, his first season with St. Louis. I remember he told me, you know, I just feel like I need to be better. And this is a guy that hit over 30 home runs and had over 100 RBI, but his average was down. He said he wasn't spraying the ball consistently. He wasn't getting on base enough. He was too pull heavy. And those were all factors that he tried to go into the offseason to change and be more aware of. And I think you're seeing the early returns so far. Nolan looks beyond locked in. I mean, he's a scary at bat no matter what time of the game or who's facing him. And I think he's really set the tone for that lineup in that clip spot. Paul Goldschmidt, you know, has always been kind of a slow starter. He always takes him a couple weeks in the season to really get there. I think I said yesterday now that April's coming to an end and, of course, the Giants series is coming up. That Goldschmidt is defrosting, and he had 3 singles yesterday, drove in 2 runs against the Reds. So those two guys, I mean, Goldschmidt and the 2-hole, Arenado batting cleanup, I think really elongates the lineup. I think the Cardinals have had their fair share of offensive woes over the past couple seasons, but this looks like, I guess, early on at least, an offense that can do some damage because they do have some length now.
Well, tell Goldschmidt that Lincecum's going to pitch, and then he'll be very excited, and he'll start to feel better. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Cardinals series. That's the weekend after, about a couple of weeks from this weekend, so the Cardinals will be in town. Looking forward to that. there's a new manager who I don't know. I'll tell you honestly, Katie, I don't know much about him as at all. Ollie Marmol, he's 35 years old. I think he's the youngest manager in baseball. He follows Mike Schilt, who is sort of a, more of a hard-nosed kind of guy. What's the difference between these two, and what do you see with Marmol? Is he okay?
You know, I think Cardinals fans have grown to know Ollie a little bit because he grew up through this, or he developed through the system as a player before taking over as a coach. He served as the bench coach for about 2 to 3 seasons under Mike Schilt. And what you're seeing from Ollie is just a different kind of relaxed leadership. The one thing that he really stresses is to just have honest and open conversations with his clubhouse. So, you know, when you're going into a veteran-heavy clubhouse where 3 players are older than him, you kind of just, you know, he made it very clear, like, this is my team, I'm the manager, but we're going to have these conversations about what's beneficial for everybody. Things that we've seen differently from Ollie already, I mean, Marty, you know, the Cardinals, they are a very storied, traditional organization. They like to keep that tradition. They're not usually a team that has always gone to the matchups or the splits. They're not a team that's always implemented openers or piggybacks or spot starters. They like to have things very fixated. But this season, you're seeing a lot of lineup fluidity. You're seeing a lot of matchups beyond righty-left years. You're seeing more from Ollie about taking in, well, this guy's swing plane measures better against the fastball than a changeup, so we're going to put him in here. You're seeing a lot of just going beyond the numbers and kind of, we joke about it, going Giants baseball under the Gabe Kapler's era. You've seen a lot of this kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of a different Cardinals team in the way that the manager has operated, but I think you're still seeing the same traits that make the Cardinals, as in fantastic defense, smart base running, efficient small ball. I don't think that kind of stuff is going away, but I do think you'll probably expect to see a more modern approach to analytics under Ollie.
All right, good insight into Ollie Marmol. We'll see him here in the Bay Area. Katie Wu with us, of course, covers, does a great job for The Athletic covering the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals are 8-4. The Brewers are 8-6, so the Cardinals are off to a good start. What's your biggest worry about the Cardinals as you look at what you're seeing this year? Because according to the report, they're off to a pretty good start.
They're off to a pretty good start. I think their offense has performed well. I think their bullpen's very underrated. They entered play yesterday with the second lowest bullpen ERA behind, guess who, the Giants at 2.15. And, you know, I think those are two aspects of the game that are really solid. Where my concern is, and I feel like a broken record here because this is pretty much all I said last season, was I think their main concern is starting pitching. And this is not a knock on Adam Wainwright, who at 40 years old has shown age is nothing but a number. They have Miles Michaelis back, a healthy Miles Michaelis, and that's a guy that they expect to eat a lot of innings and be pretty durable. And Steven Matz, their offseason acquisition, has settled in pretty nicely after one kind of scattered start to open the season. But they're looking for more length out of Dakota Hudson. They don't have Jack Flaherty back. He's sidelined indefinitely. He is throwing out to 120 feet, I should say, but no timetable for a rehab assignment. And, of course, when you're missing a pitcher as dynamic as Jack Flaherty, that takes a hit to your rotation no matter who's in it. So to combat that, the Cardinals have transformed Jordan Hicks, young 25-year-old flamethrower, high velocity, regularly in triple digits, into a starter. They were able to do that because of the 2 extra roster spots granted in April because of the lockouts. They have a little bit more pitching depth. But they are essentially building out Jordan Hicks to be a starter throughout the regular season, as you would see starters in spring training. So in his first start on Thursday, he went 3 innings, around 55 pitches. His next start will probably be around 4 to 5 innings. So you're going to see that gradual procession throughout the next couple of weeks. The only danger, of course, is you're doing that during the regular season, certainly not ideal. But if I was going to pinpoint one thing about this Cardinals team that makes me a little uncomfortable, it's just the longevity of the starting pitching.
Okay, good insight. You got to see the Cincinnati Reds last night. They've lost 10 straight. How pathetic are they?
It was funny. I was writing my lineup card, and I said, I don't know anyone really on this team except for Joey Votto. It was just a completely different Reds team than what we'd seen last year. And I think it's a sad for the division. I think the NL Central, you know, probably good news for Cardinals and Brewers fans is that it's not very competitive. But I think it's bad for baseball to have teams that are just kind of winging it in. And, you know, I'm in Cincinnati right now. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I'm right by the water. Can see Kentucky to my left. And the fans, they've showed up. And I just feel bad for fan bases that have to be accustomed to kind of less than stellar play, and I hope that there are measures being taken, at least in the future, to make this a more competitive, balanced field all around.
Well, starting pitching is important, but the Cardinals, as you say, have a great bullpen. The Giants do as well. One guy is Steven Matz, and he pitched last night for the Cardinals. He's a former Met. He was at the Blue Jays, but he can hit, but he doesn't hit anymore because of the DH. But Steven Matz looks like he's discovered something.
Yeah, no, Steven Matz has been so far a pretty impressive addition for the Cardinals. I thought this in November that Matz's prototype, the type of pitcher that he is, very well for the Cardinals' need. You know, he's not a guy that's historically gone 7-8 innings, but what you can rely on Steven Matz for is around 6 innings of weak contact, and when you have a defense that has 5 gold glovers behind you, that certainly plays, and he pitches for the strikeouts. So a sinker ball guy, ground ball guy, induces a lot of weak contact. He's going to keep guys off the bases when you have Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Tommy Edman, first-time gold glove winner, and, of course, Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill in the outfield. You know, that's pretty good. I think it sums up pretty well, like, the kind of success that the Cardinals could expect from Steven Matz, because, again, he does prototype very well with what the Cardinals do. And I think you've been able to see that early on.
Yeah, great insight, Katie. I always appreciate it. Katie Wu of The Athletic. So hopefully we'll see you soon, and it's a pleasure having you on. And the Cardinals are a team that will have to be dealt with. There's no doubt about it. Katie, thanks so much.
Marty, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, that is Katie Wu, covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. Great report from her. There's something about the St. Louis Cardinals, and whatever it is, it's a sea of red, it's the city, it's the tradition of their baseball, and Katie explained it. There's just some way they play it, but Ali Marmol sounds a little bit like a Gabe Kapler, and the numbers are there, but if I feel it should be a different way, I'll do it. And the key is a bullpen. And I'll say this again as we wrap up this segment. Tony La Russa said it years ago to me. He said, show me a good bullpen, I'll show you a good manager. And for this young Ali Marmol to have the second-best bullpen in baseball behind, guess who, the San Francisco Giants, it shows you what a good manager can do, because when you make those moves, the players produce. And you don't have games getting away late in the game. And that's very important. All right, more coming up. We've got Walter Icabalseta coming back with Bill. I'm looking forward to hearing Walter. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, and, of course, the rest of our pregame. Coming up right now, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.